Would you take these people home to meet your loved ones? Come to the Green College Codehouse, 6201 Cecil Green Park Road at 5 p.m. to hear this free lecture. Also Monday, Vancouver Public Library presents Who's Afraid of the American Dream? A lecture by Professor Jerry Weiserman on the themes of self-deception and disappointment with life in the works of playwrights Edward Albee, Tennessee Williams, Arthur Miller, and more. Come to the Vancouver Public Library Central Branch at 7:30 p.m. to hear this free lecture. This has been your community events listings for the week of December 2nd to December 8th. Tune in to CITR 101.9 FM every Monday through Saturday at 9 a.m. to hear what's going on in your community. If you have a community event that you'd like CITR to announce, email us at psas@citr.ca.
Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, Friday mornings at 9. Join me as we explore topics like health and wellness, prosperity, inner peace, the law of attraction, and more. Tap into good vibrations to start your weekend feeling uplifted and optimistic. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Fridays from 9 to 10 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Good morning. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. You may also be listening online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And today on the show, we have Rabbi Shai Specht. You can find him at RabbiShai.com, and he is a Jewish rabbi. We're going to talk today about Hanukkah. So I hope that you will call in and ask your questions about Hanukkah. The number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Or you can always email spiritualshow@gmail.com and I will pass your question along to Rabbi Shai. And before we start the show, I just want to mention something really important that's going on in the city of Vancouver. And if we have time at the end of the show, I may be talking more about it. The Bloedel Conservatory, that's the geodesic dome that's at the top of Queen Elizabeth Park. It is a conservatory for tropical plants and birds. There's also fish there. It's a beautiful, beautiful sanctuary, a beautiful retreat, especially in the cold, rainy winter months here in Vancouver. It's affordable to get in for admission prices. And the Parks Board is shutting it down, probably because of all the money we've been spending on the Olympics. And it's really important that we keep this place open. So if you love Bloedel Conservatory, please visit www.friendsofthebloedel.ca. And I will put a link up to that site on my website, spiritualshow.com, later on today. Again, that's friendsofthebloedel.ca. You can pledge donations. Please only pledge what you actually intend to give should they decide to keep the conservatory open so that they have an accurate amount that they can tell City Council has been donated. And also, yeah, they've had a bit of an extension on the decision about closing it. So definitely get on that website. There's a petition you can sign. Please sign it, even if you're not from Vancouver. If you've ever visited Vancouver and you've seen Bloedel Conservatory, just go on the website. There's pictures. There's a video. It's a beautiful place. We need to preserve it. So please, friendsofthebloedel.ca. And now I want to welcome Rabbi Shai Specht to CITR. Hi.
Hi. How are you doing? I'm great.
Good. How are you? Thank you so much for being on the show. So today we're going to talk about Hanukkah.
Yes.
And first of all, I want to give you a bit of a chance to introduce yourself. You are a rabbi, and how long have you been a rabbi?
I've been a rabbi now for about a year, a little over a year. Before that, I was a cantor and also Jewish educator, musician. I still do all that, but now I get to add some extra things in there.
Wonderful. And so you do ceremonies for... you don't have your own temple right now, do you?
No, I don't have my own synagogue.
Synagogue, sorry.
Yes, you can say temple also. I pretty much do a lot of freelance. I do. I officiate for weddings, funerals, bar mitzvahs. Also do public speaking, motivational speaking, and use Twitter and various social networks to just spread a message of spirituality and hope and light.
Well, thank you so much for doing that. The world can always use more light and hope. So thank you so much. And again, if you want to check out Rabbi Shai's website, it's rabbishai.com. And so today we're going to talk about Hanukkah. If you want to get on the air and ask a question, it's 822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. So Rabbi, where does Hanukkah come from? What's the origin of the holiday Hanukkah?
Yeah, that's very interesting because a lot of people have the misconception that Hanukkah is, because it falls so close to Christmas, is a big holiday. It's become that, but it's become commercial just as anything else has. But it's really a minor festival on the Jewish calendar and really more of a celebration for children, although adults now do get a lot out of it. Really it starts in the 4th century where the Syrian Greeks, who had a big empire, conquered the land of Israel, and they decided that everybody would have to convert and become Hellenistic. And the Jewish people who lived in the land at the time just kind of, some decided to convert and become Hellenistic. And some said, no, we want freedom. We want religious freedom. We want to be able to be who we are. A small band of rebels, as it were, called Maccabees, got together and basically said, we're going to fight this. We are going to fight for our rights. We don't mind that you're in our land. We just want to be able to live in freedom and peace. The one thing that the Syrians also did was they went into the Holy Temple in Jerusalem and basically defiled it. It destroyed all the Jewish symbols and the holy artifacts. And they erected a statue of Zeus in the temple, which made it unholy for the Jewish people. So the story goes that the Maccabees were a small army, and they fought against these Syrian Greeks. And they won the war, as it were. They bothered the Greeks enough that they said, okay, well, we'll let you live in peace and under our rule, but you can live in peace. And practice your religion, practice your spirituality, your peoplehood. When the Jewish people went into their temple and it was destroyed, they really had to rebuild the temple. And that's what they did. They rebuilt the temple. They brought in the artifacts, holy artifacts. And in the temple, there is a very big symbol, sort of what's called a menorah. It's a seven-piece candle holder at the time, and it represents the eternal light, sort of the image of the Creator, that there's always an eternal light. That wasn't burning because you needed oil, and the Greeks sort of destroyed it. So the Jews went about looking for, the Maccabees were looking for oil to light the menorah, and they found a small can that would only last maybe one day, and they needed to make more oil. Well, the miracle, the tradition tells us that a miracle happened, and instead of only burning one day, the oil lasted for 8 days, and it was enough time for them to make more oil. You needed to keep that light, that menorah, lit, so it for the symbol of eternal light. And so the holiday of Hanukkah celebrates the 8 days of the miracle of the light burning from a small can of oil. And literally the word Hanukkah means dedication, because at the end of the building, the rebuilding of the temple, there was a rededication ceremony, and that's what Hanukkah means. It means the festival of dedication, and we also call it the festival of lights.
Wow, that is so cool. So I love that the menorah represents eternal life. And tradition, I mean, my understanding of Hanukkah and the menorah is that it's the menorah is only lit for Hanukkah, and I think you light like one candle for each day. Is that right?
Yes. So for each day, you light one candle until all eight candles are lit at the end of Hanukkah, as a symbol that you know, the light is finally there.
So in the Jewish faith, do you use the menorah at other times of the year, or do you light other candles to represent the eternal life, or is the eternal light, or is it just used specifically at Hanukkah?
The menorah itself, which actually in the Hebrew is called Hanukkiah, because menorah has seven candles on it. The Hanukkiah that we use for Hanukkah, also more popular, it's known as the menorah, we only use for Hanukkah. It has nine spaces for the candles. One is the helper, as it were, that lights all the other candles, and that we only use for Hanukkah. But in the Jewish tradition, we light candles for the Sabbath every Friday, and we will light candles for memorials. And so light is very important.
Beautiful. Well, I love the lighting of candles, and I love that it represents eternal light. And I think that from now on, whenever I light a candle, I'm going to remember that.
So. It's great. It's a great way to universally to really take a moment to appreciate how much light there is around us. And when you light a candle, everything, you know, a candle, a room can be so dark, and then you light a candle and it suddenly seems like it's the brightest thing you've ever seen. And so it's a metaphor for life, that as depressed as we might get or as dark as the winter gets, you know, we can light our own candle, our own souls, and create light and emanate that light into the world. And Hanukkah teaches that us that.
Oh, that's so beautiful. So where do the presents come into play? How did that develop?
Well, traditionally, the way Hanukkah was celebrated was without gifts. I believe Christmas also at the beginning wasn't, you know, focused on gifts either. Traditionally, Hanukkah is still celebrated with what's called potato latkes. It's like these pancakes, eating donuts to represent the oil, playing games such as dreidel. And the gifts really came in later on. I think in North America, the whole Christmas Hanukkah tradition started with, you know, gifts and how much bigger the gifts can be. And, you know, so it's really something fairly new. I'm not sure exactly when it started, but it wouldn't be more than 100 years or so at the most.
So traditionally, it sounds like there weren't really gifts involved, and because of commercialism and because of its relation to Christmas. I want to talk a bit about Jesus, and I don't know how much as a rabbi you know about Jesus, but I know that Jesus was Jewish.
Yes.
So it's kind of interesting that, because we celebrate Christmas, Christmas, mm-hmm. Christians do, and I've always assumed that Hanukkah had something similar to do with Christmas, even though I didn't know exactly what it was celebrating. So how do the Jewish people look at Jesus?
In fact, Hanukkah has nothing, there's nothing to do with Jesus or Christmas. It just so happens that it falls at the same, sort of the same period. Perhaps, and I'm not sure, I'm just sort of guessing, Christmas sort of was created around Hanukkah in a way, in some way of light or something. You know, basically the view of the Jewish people, it depends on who you talk to and I guess the level of observance you come from. But Jewish people don't believe that Jewish was the Messiah. that Jesus was the Messiah and or God, for that matter. Some Jewish people would say that perhaps Jesus was a rabbi who lived during the Talmudic times and had some inspiring thoughts, you know, to that the whole world sort of learned from. But as a whole, Judaism really doesn't connect to the idea of Jesus as Messiah or God.
Okay, that's interesting. I kind of have the same viewpoint. I think that Jesus, when we talk about Jesus as being the Son of God, I think there's a lot of interpretations that one could take, because according to the Bible and according to Jesus, we are all the children of God. So
correct.
Just because Jesus is the Son of God doesn't mean that he's the only one.
Absolutely. We're all sons and daughters of God, of Creator. And, you know, perhaps Jesus was a very inspired rabbi in his day. You know, I think that much too often we focus on differences that we have instead of really honing in on some of the similarities. We all reach the same path. At the end of the day, we all get to the same energy force. But we all have different ways to get there. And I think instead of, you know, fighting it, we should really celebrate each other, be proud of our heritage and our beliefs and our truth, as it were, and also allow other people to have their beliefs and heritages and truths. I don't look at it as a melting pot, but rather as a salad that has lots of different flavors, and then there's kind of the dressing that binds it all together.
Oh, that's a beautiful way to look at it. Now it's time to take a break, so we'll be back with more of the Rabbi Shai Specht in just a moment. If you want to check out the rabbi's website, his website is rabbishai.com. That's SHAI.com. So continue listening, and if you have a question, give us a call at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR, or you can also email spiritualshow@gmail.com.
It's Christmas morning,
and Santa never came.
Damn it, we forgot Christmas.
What the hell are we thinking?
No. God, well, maybe there's still time to do something. Maybe there's a gas station.
No, Susie, you say thank you.
Oh, yeah? Oh, I will. I'm just going to go put these with all the other gloves that I have, because I tell you something, I sure do get a lot of gloves. Gloves from you people. Happy freaking Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Hey. We don't use that kind of talk around here.
Happy winter time.
Hi, everyone. Merry seasonal tidings.
The holidays can be stressful. Luckily, Mint Records' ridiculously early Christmas party is back Friday, December 4th at the Biltmore Cabaret, featuring performances by Aunts and Uncles, Catherine Calder, Fanshawe, Telerissa, Hot Panda, Van Cougar, Carolyn Mark, and the Pack AD. Duncan of Dunkin' Donuts fame will be DJing. So come celebrate Christmas ridiculously early with Mint Records. December 4th at the Biltmore Cabaret, located at 395 Kingsway. CITR is super popular. We've partnered with great local businesses to bring all our friends discounts in their communities. Say you like to kick it in kids. Show your friends of CITR card at Canterbury Tales Secondhand Books, Rufus's Guitar Shop, Prussian Music, The Eatery, Grindhouse Video, Fresh's Best Salsa & Co., Roy Shoes Limited, Vaz Boutique, Sage Natural Wellness, Gumdrops, Spank Shoes, Banyan Books, and the UBC Bike Kitchen, and save! So become a CITR member, get a free friends card, and feel the love.
Well, I want to be your old lover. I want to be your man. I want you to understand.
Stewie, hey.
Hey there. So, it's been 24 hours. Got my money?
Oh, you know what? Just give me till next Friday. I'll have it for you.
Oh, that's funny. I could have sworn I said have it today.
Yeah, I don't have it, sorry.
Oh, well, all right then. That's good, OJ.
Ah!
Yeah, that hurt.
Ah!
What the hell?
Yeah.
It feels so good.
Thank you to all the donors who pledged their financial support during the CITR on-air fund drive. We are moved by your generosity, and thank you for enabling us to purchase new equipment and improve our programming. Do remember to stop by the station, pay your pledges, and pick up your prizes. We look forward to meeting you anytime between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. on weekdays. Thank you again for your amazing response. Listen to our happy voices on the air, happier after we purchase new equipment for our studios. Thanks again.
You got till 5 o'clock, you hear me? You got till 5 o'clock.
You freaking psychopath!
Clean yourself up.
Welcome back to Synchronicity on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Today's theme is Hanukkah, and we are talking with Rabbi Shai Specht. You can find him at rabbishai.com, and feel free to give us a call if you have a question about Hanukkah or Judaism, because we have a rabbi on the phone right now. So any questions you have, give us a call, 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Hi, Rabbi. Welcome back to the show.
Hi.
Hi. So we were talking about, I think before the break, we were talking about Jesus. We were talking about how everybody, every religion has their own take on what God is and what the meaning of life is. And I think that everyone's opinion is valuable, and we don't all have to share the same opinion.
Absolutely. I think we all have different paths that ultimately will lead us to the same point. But we don't have to, you know, all walk in the same path. It would be boring if everybody was the same and thought the same and did the same things. Even within different religions and spiritualities, you find varying opinions.
That's true. So I want to ask more about Hanukkah. I have to confess, I don't know a lot about the holiday, and I noticed that it falls on a different day each year. Is that right?
Yes, and a lot of the Jewish holidays do, because the Jewish calendar, the Hebrew calendar, follows a sort of slightly different system. It follows the lunar system. And so when we fit that calendar into the Gregorian calendar, it sort of always comes out at a different point. But it's always the same on the Hebrew calendar. And then it kind of changes, it seems, when we put it into the Gregorian calendar. So sometimes it comes, like this year, it's going to be a couple of weeks before Christmas. Sometimes it falls right on Christmas. But that's basically the reason.
So is the lunar calendar, is that like every month is 28 days, or how does that work?
Yes, every month is basically 28 days, and every month has its own Hebrew name and significance. And the interesting small tidbit is that it corresponds to an astrological sign. Astrology, in its originality, started through a form of Judaism. So each month has its own astrological symbol.
Wow, I had no idea. That is so cool. So a lot of people follow astrology, whether they really believe in it or whether it's for fun.
Right.
But a lot of people have an interest in astrology. So do people from the Jewish faith take astrology seriously?
It depends on who you speak to. Because as you get more observant, there are some people who would say that, you know, we shouldn't really delve into the future or look at you know, anything like that, because it kind of takes away from who we are now. But traditionally, yes, people would follow astrology. I think, as with everything, you know, astrology itself took a different path, but certainly a lot of Jewish people do follow astrology.
Okay, wonderful. Well, I'm wondering some more things about the Jewish faith, if you're open to talking about them. Or do you have anything else that you'd like to add about Hanukkah?
No, I think pretty much that's it. It's a very joyous festival, and, you know, it's great to think about light and a great way for families to get together around the menorah and light the candles and really appreciate each other in the moment and spread light.
So So you mentioned also, Rabbi, earlier that Hanukkah actually wasn't traditionally a super big holiday. It was mm-hmm. is a small holiday. So what is a holiday that would be in significance rival Christmas, like really major holiday?
Yeah, that's a good question. In fact, during the fall, when we have Rosh Hashanah, which is the New Year, Yom Kippur, those holidays are the major Jewish holidays, Passover. They're the major holidays because they're mentioned in the Torah, in the Jewish Book of Wisdom, and the Jewish Bible, as it were. And they are the holidays that are very significant. They talk about, renewal. They talk about different seasons of the year. Whereas Hanukkah sort of celebrates a historical something that happened in Jewish history, and a kind of a nice miracle, but it's not a holiday that comes from within the deep tradition of Judaism.
Okay, well, can we talk a little bit about Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Passover then?
Sure.
Okay, so which comes first?
Well, Rosh Hashanah, which means literally head of the year, comes first. And it is the celebration of it sort of begins a little bit before Rosh Hashanah. There's a whole season of really soul searching, and as the summer ends, we kind of really delve into our souls. We think about the past year. We try to see what we've done that we're really proud of, what we're not so proud of, and then Rosh Hashanah sort of kicks off that kind of season of repentance and soul searching and really and renewal. And so when Rosh Hashanah arrives, we celebrate a new year, a new Jewish year in the Jewish calendar. We celebrate fall and starting again. And we also sort of start really getting serious about our thinking about what we've done in the past. Have we done everything we could? Have we been nice to each other? Have we not? We ask ourselves if we treated our fellow human beings in a nice way. Can we go and apologize to people for something we've done? And we start kind of doing this forgiveness. And then it leads us between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. We have 10 days of really kind of, it's kind of a race, if you were, to really get everything out there, really go to people and say, you know, I'm really sorry for something I've done, really apologize to ourselves, really think of the way that we can change our lives and become better human beings. And we get to Yom Kippur, which is one of the holiest, that's the major holiday of the year, where we fast for a day so that we really can allow ourselves just a clear mind, a clear state of being. We go to synagogue and we pray all day. We say we apologize for the things that we've done, for things that we've done against each other, for things that we've done in the name of God, and we really try to honestly look at ourselves and make a change. And so that whole time of year is a really intense time of year for us. It's a time of reflection, a time of understanding, a time of really, sometimes it's hurtful. We really have to look at ourselves, put a mirror to ourselves, and figure out where we go from here.
That's beautiful. So that's during the fall season?
That's during the fall. This year it was in September. So, you know, again, it's like September, October, depending on the Jewish calendar.
And then the new year starts? Or when?
The new year starts, it's first. So that starts, this year was September. There's a month called Tishrei, which is the first month of the Jewish calendar. And within that month, all these holidays occur. And it's a very intense time of renewal, new beginnings, forgiveness.
Wonderful. So this is really interesting, and I want to thank you so much for being on the show today to talk about your Jewish faith and to talk about Hanukkah. Again, we're talking with Rabbi Shai Specht. You can find him online at rabbishai.com. Com, and it's time to take another break. So we'll be back with more discussion about the Jewish holidays and with Rabbi Shai. So keep listening to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul.
Rude boys, don't cry, don't cry.
Rude boy, don't cry.
Scenic Drive, every Friday morning, 10 a.m. till noon, CITR.
Ever thought about volunteering with Big Sisters? Maybe now is the time. Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland provides girls aged 7 to 17 with a champion, a mentor who's there to simply be their friend and cheer them on. Become a study buddy tutor and spend 1 hour a week helping your little sister learn to love school. Or become a big sister and spend 3 fun hours a week just hanging out with your little sister. If you're age 19 or older, please visit bigsisters.bc.ca to find out more. Maybe now is the time.
The AIDS Vancouver Helpline is here to help. Open from 9 to 4, Monday to Friday, the helpline answers questions about HIV and safer sex. Call to find medical support in your area without giving your name. Run by volunteers, the helpline is one of many programs from AIDS Vancouver combating the HIV epidemic in the Lower Mainland. While not medical professionals, our volunteers answer your questions confidentially and anonymously. The helpline number is 604-696-4666 or contact us online at www.aidsvancouver.org.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. And we are talking today with Rabbi Shai Specht from rabbishai.com. You can also follow him on Twitter at Rabbi Shai Specht. It's S-H-A-I-S-P-E-C-H-T. And I really appreciate him being on the show. Speaking of the holidays, I want to let you know that there is not going to be any Synchronicity on Christmas Day, and there's also not going to be one the following Friday. I think it's New Year's Eve. So I just want to let you know that's the case, because the student union building here at the University of British Columbia will be closed and locked up, and so there's not really any way I can get in unless I sneak in or bug one of the janitors for a key. So I just want to let you know that we'll be taking 2 weeks off for the holidays over Christmas time. So thank you so much for listening all year and for your wonderful support. You can check out more information about the show at spiritualshow.com, and welcome Rabbi back to the show. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. So I have another question. I hope you don't mind me picking your brain about Judaism here.
Sure.
Again, if you want to get on the air and ask a question, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And maybe we can talk about kosherness, kosher in general. But I heard the other day that Jewish people can't eat shellfish.
Correct.
So, why is that?
there are a whole slew in the Torah. There are some rules about various things that we can eat. Most of the kosher laws, or kashrut as it's known, pertain to animals. And basically, the Torah explicitly states which animals are permitted to eat or forbidden. So, for example, in regards to birds, the Torah has no general rules, but various animals such as pigs or any scavenger, actually even birds that are scavengers, any animal that's a scavenger or eats other flesh is not permitted, is not kosher. Any animal or any seafood, shellfish that lives at the bottom and feeds off the bottom of the ocean is also not is not kosher. And basically you're left with things, you know, with animals such as cows that only eat grass, and chickens that are you know, eat grain and grass also. And so those are pure animals that are, you know, they're not prey. They don't prey on other animals. And so those are permitted to eat. And then there are various ways with the beef of how to kill the cow, for example, so that it's more humane, so that the animal doesn't suffer in the process, and really using all of the parts, not wasting anything, draining the blood from the animal, so that because the blood, the Torah sees the blood as sort of the soul, the remnants of the soul, and you don't want to eat the soul. There's a rule about not boiling a kid in its mother's milk, so that it's sort of not to be cruel. And so it's a very interesting system that some argue has nothing to do with health and is just about, you know, a way of life, and to the Jewish people wanted to sort of separate themselves from the pagans. And others say, well, it really makes sense because, you know, it was a healthy way of living. You just didn't, you know, you ate animals who were only eating grass or grains. You didn't eat shellfish that eats from the bottom of the ocean and could give you all kinds of disease, or animals who eat other meat and can give you disease.
Well, yeah, it makes sense to me because now we have a little bit more health going on as far as cooking our food and stuff.
Sure.
But back a long time ago, it could be unsafe to eat pork if it wasn't cooked well enough. And pork always has to be well done. You don't want to have like a pink center like you would with a cow meat. And then there's red tide with shellfish. So, I mean, it could be looked at as from a health perspective. Now, what about, because now I know that there are kosher delis and there are places you can go specifically to get kosher meat, but mm-hmm. Does it have to be? Because, I mean, in our factory farming now, the regular cows that we would consider vegetarians aren't, because they're fed other, not only other animal meat, but actually probably other cow meat.
Right, absolutely. And there have actually been some controversies within the kosher world about some of the companies who also don't kind of adhere to a lot of that stuff. And it's an ongoing process. Later on, what happened was when the rabbinic era began, the Talmud was created, which is a book of interpretations of the Torah by the rabbis, more discussions, and a whole system of kashrut was developed, and, you know, things were added and things were taken away. But the basic premise still stays the same, and there are various arguments even today about, you know, what's kosher enough, what's not kosher, you know. And it's a very interesting, it's become a big business also. But on the positive side, it also wakes people up. For example, I lived in England for a while. I have family there. And when mad cow disease was big, people would flock to the Jewish butchers because you're not supposed to have meat that has blemishes in it. And so any meat that had blemishes in it wasn't sold. And often people knew that the butchers in England who were Jewish were safer to go and get the meat from. So there is, you know, I believe that there is sort of a health thing. I believe that, you know, our ancestors, whether they were Jewish or Mayan or, you know, knew a lot more than we give them credit for, maybe not in the scientific way, but they kind of led the way. I mean, if they didn't give us these theories, we would never try to prove or disprove them, mostly disprove them. But so we would never come to this science. But you look back and you see the way they lived and the healthy ways that they, you know, the choices they made. Today, you know, people say, oh, the Mediterranean diet, that's one of the best things, you know, lowest cholesterol and, you know, it's healthy. So our ancestors were onto something, and ultimately, I believe it's an energy that inspired them, and there's something out there that really keeps connecting us.
Beautiful. Well, I just have one more question out of curiosity about kosher, and that is the the animals are butchered in a specific way, so it's mm-hmm. more humane. But how about, how are they raised? Are they raised more humanely, or is that taken into account?
Yes. And they're supposed to be, it's supposed to be a free-range situation. You're supposed to treat your animals, Judaism is very specific about treating your animals very well. Some very fanatic rabbis would say animals don't have a soul, but in general, Judaism does believe that, you know, animals have a soul. Some rabbis say, you know, therefore we have to be vegetarian. But yes, it really very much is about the humane way of treating the animals. And again, unfortunately, as with everything, in some areas it doesn't always happen. But there is a move to go back to that again.
Well, that's so wonderful. I would like to see that happen, not just for religious reasons, but I would love to see that happen for all people who eat animals, for all animals that are bred for food or for any other reasons, to be treated humanely and respected.
Sure.
So, and I think we're getting close to wrapping up this conversation. We've been discussing Hanukkah, and we've been discussing the Jewish faith, and I'm wondering if there's anything that you would like to discuss before the end of the show.
Only that, you know, I think it's very important to remember this time of year, you know, especially with the kids, if you're Jewish, if you're a Jewish family, not to try to compete with Christmas. We have our own holidays that are big and we can make big deals out of. Yes, you know, do the gift and the fun and all that, but and go to other people's, you know, neighbors and friends who celebrate, maybe go there and experience the joy. Don't put your kids in a situation where they always feel like it's a competition. And similarly, if it's an interfaith family, it shouldn't be a tug of war between Christmas and Hanukkah. It should be a way to celebrate. It's a season of celebrating, a season of light. And all too often, we forget that. And even, you know, we have big family functions and we get so stressed out. Take a breath, relax. Go to your family functions and enjoy the people in your life who matter most, who maybe you don't even see a lot.
Wonderful. Well, I really want to thank you, Rabbi Shai, for being on the show today. It's been so wonderful, so educational, and I want to leave listeners with the image of the menorah and the candles on the menorah representing eternal light that's within all of us, because I think that it's important at this time of year when it gets so stressful and a lot of times we forget about the meaning of Christmas and the meaning of Hanukkah, and it gets to be about, like you said, competing and seeing how much, you know, if we can buy a more expensive present or obligation for buying gifts for other people. And I think that we really need to take a moment in amongst all this stressful shopping time to remember the inner light that is within us, that inner light of God and of love that's within us.
Absolutely. And if I can add that this, you know, this year is very hard for some people economically. So let's get back to the basics. Let's get back to gifts that are modest but mean a lot, gifts from the heart. The gift of loving each other and really giving a card that means something, not just some toy, or, you know, we can buy toys any day. But let's make this year a really meaningful year where we get back to really what matters, and that is light, love, and hope.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Shai, for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Okay. Bye-bye. So if you would like to learn more about Rabbi Shai, you can visit him online at rabbishai.com, and I will put a link up to his website on my show later today. My website is spiritualshow.com. Rabbi Shai has a blog, and hi, Rabbi, are you still there?
Yes.
Hi. I actually want to ask you about your blog before we end this call.
Sure.
What are you offering people on your blog? Because I think that you have some wonderful ideas and some inspirational thoughts. And so I think that if people are interested in learning more, they could get some benefit from reading your work.
Well, thank you. The blog is sort of a collection of my thoughts and, you know, based on the Kabbalah and based on spirituality, Jewish thought, but very much in a universal sense of very much about love and light and peace and spreading a message of hope, spreading a message of, you know, of light and faith.
Beautiful. Oh, and I remember when we were talking before, I asked if you would be willing to sing a song for Hanukkah. How are you feeling about that?
Oh, yes. the famous dreidel song that, you know, a lot of people get sick of after a while. And what I sort of wanted to sing maybe is the blessings, because as we light the candles, we say blessings. And on the first night, we say three. The second night, we only say two. The first blessing is says, "Blessed are you, Creator, ruler of the universe, who sanctified us and allowed us to light these candles." And it goes like this. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kideshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lehadlik ner shel Chanukah. The second one says, "Thank you, Creator, who ruler of the universe, who brought miracles for our ancestors in days of old at this season." Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam she'asa nisim lavoteinu bayamim ha'ahem bazman hazeh. And then only on the first night we add the third blessing, because this is a blessing that we say in Judaism every time something new begins, every new holiday, every time we see something new in our lives or an event happens. And it says, "Blessed are you, Creator, ruler of the universe, who has kept us alive and has preserved us and enabled us to reach this time." Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehechyanu vekiyemanu vehigiyanu lazman hazeh.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Do you have any other songs you want to sing?
You know, the famous song is the dreidel song that the kids really like, that goes something like this. I have a little dreidel, I made it out of clay, and when it's dry and ready, oh, my dreidel, I will shall play. Oh,
dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay.
And when it's dry and ready, my dreidel I shall play.
Yay!
And there are a lot of really great Jewish singers, modern Jewish singers, such as Julie Silver and, you know, Debbie Friedman. You can really Google and find amazing new songs for Hanukkah that are out there.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much. Yeah, even I have heard that song.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. And again, if you want to learn more about Rabbi Shai, it's rabbishai.com.
Thank you so much.
Thank
My
you.
Pleasure.
And when is Hanukkah this year?
This year, it begins on the 12th of December.
So very soon.
Next Sunday, I believe.
Okay.
Right. Yes.
Well, happy Hanukkah, Rabbi.
Thank you so much.
Thank
you. And a Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. Take care.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye. So that was Rabbi Shai Specht. Thank you so much for being on the show, Rabbi. That was just wonderful. I loved learning about Hanukkah, and I had no idea that that was the origin of Hanukkah. So thank you so much for being on Synchronicity here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. And I'm going to try and get in touch with, at the beginning of the show, I was talking about the Bloedel Conservatory here in Vancouver at the top of the beautiful Queen Elizabeth Park. We're trying to save it because it's such a beautiful asset to this city, and it was actually given to Vancouver as a gift, and it would be a shame to throw away such a beautiful, wonderful, generous gift. So I'm going to try and get in touch with one of the organizers of one of the groups that is trying to save Bloedel Conservatory. In the meantime, I'm going to play a song. So thank you so much for listening to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. Here is a song by Baird Hersey and Prana with Krishna Das here on Synchronicity.
Om Narayanu, Om Narayanu.
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. We just had the Rabbi Shai Specht on the show. You can find him again at rabbishai.com, and I'll put a link to his website on my website, spiritualshow.com. So please check that out. And he was a fabulous guest, wasn't he? I loved his beautiful singing voice. So now I have Cheryl, and she is from Friends of the Bloedel.ca. in an effort to save the beautiful Bloedel Conservatory. Hi, Cheryl. Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, hi, Marie. Thanks for inviting me.
Hi. So I just want to get a quick rundown of what's going on to try and save the Bloedel. Is there any kind of game plan?
Well, our current game plan is to create a nonprofit society in support of the Bloedel. And our mission would be to preserve, protect, and refurbish the Bloedel so that we can have it for generations of Vancouverites in the future.
Beautiful. So I heard that it was something like $2 million they were looking at to repair the geodesic dome.
Yeah, that's correct. Well, initially it would be $1.2 million, and then eventually there would be an additional cost. But nevertheless, you know, we're in the process of looking for some capital investment from philanthropists in the corporate world. We're fairly confident that we would at least be able to assist the city in this endeavor.
Definitely. Well, I think that there are a lot of people who really value Bloedel Conservatory, even if you don't go there on a regular basis. It's such a gem for this city, and it is, you know, the tourists love it, and especially in the winter months. I never go in the summer because it's too warm for me and it's too filled with tourists, but that's a good thing, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, you really must check it out in the evening when the sun's going down. Like in the wintertime around 4:30, all the birds start to sing. It's like being in the jungle, in the tropics at night. It's unbelievable. You really have to check it out.
Wow, beautiful. Yeah. Well, definitely everyone should check it out. And there's something, there's an anniversary celebration. Is it this Sunday?
That's correct. This Sunday, the Bloedel Conservatory turns 40. So we're inviting all to come and visit the Bloedel. The Park Board unfortunately canceled their usual birthday celebration. They usually have a free day for the birthday. But today we're asking people, they have to pay admission. So it's $4.80 per adult. So it's quite a steal. Please come on Sunday and help us celebrate.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much. And last night there was a protest at City Hall, and it sounds like the decision has been delayed.
That's correct, yes. We had a speakers list of 86 people there last night at City Hall, and we got down to number 8. And a few people jumped the line because of elderly people and the youth. They wanted to get them through quicker. So, yeah, we're looking at probably another deferment and maybe possibly another deferment after that. So there will be another meeting this Thursday night at 6:30 at City Hall. We're also having a demonstration beforehand at 5:30. We invite any and all to come out and demonstrate to protect the Bloedel Conservatory at 5:30 this coming Thursday evening in front of City Hall.
Beautiful. And the deferment, the delay is actually a good thing because it gives people more time to sign the petition to get together, because this decision was just, I mean, it's happened so quickly.
So quickly. We put up our website in a day and a half, and we, you know, after 32 hours, we now have 72 members of our organization, and membership is free, and we'd welcome anyone to join. The more people who join, the more voice we have with City Hall.
72 members, and over 3,000 people have signed the petition
so
far.
That's correct, yes.
And, you know, there are thousands of people who visit the Bloedel Conservatory every year, and especially for low-income families, it's a really important place. I mean, I know a few low-income families with small children, and they just cherish it so much. So please, please protect it.
Yes, exactly. Please protect it, especially for our kids. You know, I want my kids to go there and have their wedding pictures taken, right?
Beautiful, yeah.
Yeah, let's have it be there forever.
Exactly. So it's savethebloedel.ca.
Friends of the Bloedel.ca. That's right, yeah.
Okay, great. And I'll put a link up to that on my website today as well. So it's Friends of the Bloedel.ca. I hope that everyone, I noticed that there are people from all over the world that are signing the petition. Does it matter if you're a Vancouver resident?
Well, you know, electronic petitions for that very reason don't necessarily hold the credence that a paper one does, right? If we had signatures from Vancouverites and we had 3,000 signatures, then that would count for more at City Hall. But nevertheless, I think, you know, the number is there, right? Whether, you know, maybe what, 1% of people or 0.1% of people are from out of town. I think most of the people who have signed are probably from here, and it's a big number.
Beautiful. Well, is there going to be a paper petition?
Well, there was one in circulation at one point, and unfortunately, the park board can't get involved in protecting this facility, ironically, and neither can its employees, because it's a conflict of interest. So, you know, they would be risking their jobs to offer a petition to visitors to the Bloedel Conservatory. So currently, there is not a paper petition in circulation.
Oh, well, that's too bad. But I think that, you know, even paper petitions hold so much weight, but, you know, our voice holds even much more. So if you have any kind of public position that you can share this information with people, or through Facebook, through Twitter, any social networking, YouTube,
absolutely,
get the word out there. So it's friendsoftheblodell.ca.
That's right, yes. And any and all assistance, particularly with Facebook and Twitter, would be greatly appreciated.
Beautiful. Well, I've been tweeting about it, but awesome. Most of my Twitter followers aren't from Vancouver, but there are a few passing it on. So, and all my Twitter followers out there, please do pass on my tweets about the Blodell Conservatory. Check out the video and check out the beautiful photos at friendsoftheblodell.ca. So thank you so much, Cheryl, for being on the show.
My pleasure. Happy to talk to you.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Take care.
Bye-bye. So it's time now, in just a couple of moments, for Scotty's Scenic Drive. I want to thank you so much for listening today, and I want to thank again the Rabbi Shai Specht for being on the show, rabbishai.com. You can find a link to his website and to Friends of the Blodell.ca on my website, spiritualshow.com. And before Scotty's Scenic Drive comes on, I just want to talk for a second about Blodell, because this is a spiritual show, and people might be like, oh, why are you talking about Blodell? That has nothing to do with spirituality. You know, it really does. These birds that are there, a lot of them talk. They interact with people. I mean, you go there, especially in the winter months when it's dark and rainy and cold here in Vancouver, and you just go into this beautiful wonderland of the tropics. And the birds are so beautiful and loving, and it really warms your heart. If you haven't been to the Blodell Conservatory in a while, I definitely encourage you to go try and get the Blodell saved. But, you know, they're planning to close it in March 2010. So if we're not able to save it, you know, you got to get there now and soak up some of that wonderful energy there and really enjoy it while we have this treasure here. But hopefully they won't close it, because it is so important to Vancouverites. So make your voice heard. Share it on Twitter and Facebook. Thank you so much for listening, and I really appreciate your time. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful weekend. Up now, next is Scotty's Scenic Drive here on Synchronicity, here on CITR. Have a great day.
Rude boys, don't cry, don't cry.
Rude boy, don't cry.
Scotty's Scenic Drive, every Friday morning, 10 a.m. till noon, CITR.